Okie dokie. This morning, I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about resolutions. I'm not going to talk for long. I have one side of notes. It's all very exciting, so you should be home for a nice early lunch. You may even be home before it's afternoon, if you're lucky. But today, obviously, is New Year's Day, and traditionally, one of the things that people would do is they would put the year that has just gone behind them, and they would kind of set out their resolutions for the year ahead, targets to aim for, things to hope for, as we've just been praying about. Lots of people choose New Year as a time when they're going to give things up. A lot of people start to give up smoking this time of year, or they might try and give up drinking or lots of other things. Some people spend this time actually thinking, oh, actually what I want to do is I want to do something a bit less. I want to actually eat a bit less and lose a bit of weight, or perhaps watch a bit less television. And some people kind of try and put a positive spin on their resolutions. They decide they're actually going to go and do different things. So they might decide they're going to go to the gym once a week. And we all know that gym subscriptions go up massively at this time of year. Or maybe something, you know, a bit more spiritual, if you're feeling spiritual, like reading the Bible every day, or trying to do the Bible in a year, or trying to pray a bit more. But I think we all know, really, that resolutions often don't last. The vast majority, they reckon around about 80% of resolutions are broken by Valentine's Day. So why do we make them? It's funny, I mean, you know, they also reckon that it's not just about kind of some of the small resolutions, often it's the big ones as well, things like giving up smoking, but even diets. A lot of people lose a lot of weight in the first few months of this year, but most of them will have put it on again by the end of the year. A study in America reckoned that 2/3 of people who'd been in for cardiac surgery had returned to their bad eating habits that had forced them into the surgery in the first place within a year. And so we make these resolutions, but why? I think there's a part of it that's to do with this kind of culture that we live in that I've talked about before. We live in this highly kind of individualistic society. We might kind of scoff at the American dream because we're not American and we definitely don't want to be American. But I think we actually have an equally persuasive British dream, or Scottish dream, if you don't want to be British. We have this dream of maybe owning a car or owning a house. And we've seen the problems that have kind of just in this last couple of years, the problems that people have got themselves into because of that part of that dream. We dream of being successful in our work, of rising to the top. Or maybe, you know, we want our children to have a better education than we did, or to have better jobs than we have. And we tend to laugh a bit at kind of reality TV and the lottery and all these other get-rich-quick schemes. But we have a lot of respect for the self-made man. So we tune in to watch The Apprentice, so Alan Sugar, a self-made millionaire from Amstrad. We love watching The Dragon's Den, where potential new ideas, new entrepreneurs come forward and try and get money from people who've made all of their own money. We love these successful, self-made people. And if you go into any bookshop, of the few that are left, if you go into, I think Waterstones is about the only one where you can actually go into a bookshop now, but you will find shelves and shelves of self-help books or teach yourself X and Y and Z books. And I think the danger when it comes to New Year, when it comes to resolutions, is that they come from a root that says, I believe that if I will it enough, I can do it. If I have enough willpower. If you watch the Nicorette adverts, they have a little thing at the bottom that says, requires willpower. And we have this belief in ourselves. And the danger is that what happens is we become our own savior. We become our own functional savior. We fall into a pattern of belief that says, I can make myself better. That I can try harder and do better. But if I am my savior, then Jesus no longer is. Romans 7 says it in this way. Romans 7, starting in verse 15, So Romans 7:15, it says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." What Paul's saying here is that we do the things we don't want to do. That actually our willpower so often is not enough, because actually what we end up doing is we do the things in my will. I say, I'm not going to do that thing, but actually I end up doing it anyway, because that is the nature of man so often. So I'm not saying that resolutions are intrinsically wrong and that we shouldn't necessarily seek improvement or seek to further ourselves, but our resolutions should flow from our relationship with Jesus and not from our relationship with ourselves. So my challenge this year, the beginning of the year, is I want to say, let your first resolution be for Jesus. Instead of giving something up, let us give ourselves to the one who gave up everything. Instead of doing something less, let us become less so that he would become more. And instead of doing more good things, let us recognize him who has already done the greatest thing because we could not. Because if you do this, if you focus on this first, then what you might find is that the power of his spirit within you will actually enable you to fulfill your resolutions. All I have to say today, let your resolution, your first resolution, the beginning of 2012, let it be for Jesus. And if you want to make other resolutions, then do that. And let them flow from that, recognizing that actually it is his spirit living within you that enables you to do the things that you want to do. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you again for New Year and that feeling of a clean slate, a clean sheet of paper on which to draw. But ultimately that clean slate comes not from a date on the calendar, nor from my belief that I can do things differently if I just start afresh, but ultimately comes from the work of Jesus on the cross that truly washed us white as snow, truly wiped the slate clean, that took all of the problems and issues and debt that I had in my life and wiped it clean. And I pray that this year, Lord, we would recognize first where the clean slate comes from and allow you to affect what we draw on it. Allow you to be our resolution this year. In Jesus' name, amen.